And welcome to the Life in Lane 4, the podcast where we dive into the struggles of balancing the rigors of swimming and school. I am your host, Anton Bergavoy, and today I sit down with Penn State junior Teddy Blake. I first saw Teddy at my long course champs meet this past summer, where he swam out of his mind. His stories about the new coach at Penn State and how he balances life as a collegiate swimmer really make this episode a great one. I would like to thank Teddy for coming onto the podcast, and I truly hope that you enjoyed this episode.
All right. Hey, Teddy, how are you? Thank you so much for coming onto the podcast.
I'm doing great. How are you? Thanks for having me.
I'm doing fantastic. Cannot be complaining right now, right? Cannot be complaining.
Yes.
Yes, so, sir. Junior year at Penn State starting up for you last couple weeks. What do you think you're most looking forward to this year?
You know, we had a coaching change last year. So we had a new head coach to start off the year last year. So the thing I'm most excited about is the people that are coming back, like building the experience and knowing the system of our new coach, Holly. And just trying to like continue to excel and build upon what we did last year. So that's nice. Probably my most exciting thing this year.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Did you like, what was like the change like from coach to coach?
You can't really put your finger like on one thing. I'd say it's a lot harder, but, yeah. You know, each coach has their own philosophies about what works, what doesn't work, like how they want to work with their athletes. So I feel like trying to put that in a sentence is kind of impossible, because there's so many different like aspects of what goes into coaching, like seeing your coach every day, kind of how you're feeling that day, how you perform in the water. And it's not just our head coach, like all of the assistants, they each have their own philosophies as well. Yeah. So, you know, it's not really like one tangible difference. It's just like a collection of new things for us this year.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you like about the new coach?
Well, she really pushes us. That's, you know, if you're new to the team, like first day as a freshman, you realize like, okay, she's the real deal. She pushes us. There hasn't been a day of training with her where I felt like I didn't, you know, or I wasn't challenged, or I didn't get better in some way. And she throws so many different like things at you that sometimes like it's a little overwhelming, but you know, learning how to deal with that and continue to focus on the details, that's part of I think my progression these past 2 years or year and a half.
That's cool. What do you think you did best to transition smoothly from coach to coach in terms of like philosophy and how they, you know, work their training schedules and, you know, write their practices?
Mm-hmm. I tried to come at it with an open mind. Like, you can't really get 1 year under a coach, 1 or 2 years under a coach, and say, this is how I'm going to do things for the rest of my life. You got to embrace new ways of training, like new techniques and everything. And just try to have an open mind. And like, really, like, if, you know, your coach tells you to do something, like, do it. Like, you just got to drink the Kool-Aid. You can't have any reservations in your mind about like, oh, well, you know, I used to do this, or I want to do this. Like, you got to believe that what you're doing has a reason, whether or not you fully understand it. And understanding it kind of comes along with like, you know, over time practicing and developing as an athlete. So you just got to buy into the system, whatever that may be, and roll with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What are some of the new things that she had you guys do that you're so used to?
I would say we do a lot of pace 50s on really tight intervals. I mean, it can be, they're not like super tight. We do like multiple 50s, 200 or 500 pace on like 45 seconds. Mm. And that comes after usually like longer swims or pole or something like that. So it's just like challenging, like activating your body in different ways, mm-hmm. whether that be like loading your arms and your upper body at the start of the round with pole, or your legs with, you know, underwater work or stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that part of your body is already tired. And so when you move into doing pace, you get to really emphasize, you know, what that feels like in an actual race, like when your arms do get tired, for example.
Yeah. 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 That's definitely something, at least my club coach, Brandon Hollings, who I've had on episode 5, I think, that's what he loves to do that. He loves to not overuse, but emphasize something like, hey, we're going to do 300s on this interval at whatever, best effort, best average or something like that. So like you're in that aerobic threshold, you're in that aerobic capacity. And then he's like, and then he springs a bunch of like sprint hundreds at you or pace 50s or something like that. And I remember one of the sets, this one set that we have on Fridays, we have a warm up and we do like 20 50s at just straight to pace.
Oof.
They're on a minute, so you get like maybe 30 seconds rest. But yeah. Like you cannot recover in those 30 seconds. Like,
yeah.
It's so rough. Like holding, I don't know, my pace at this point is like 25, around 25 for the mm-hmm. 2-3, and I'm like, and it's if you miss your pace, you sit one. That's a key part of it. Okay. So yeah, so it's not, it's not that bad. It's not as bad. But yeah, like he would write out everybody's times, every time that they need to go, and so mine would be like 25-2 or 25 hours, whatever it is that day, and mm-hmm. and like I'd make it'd be like 25-1, and I'd just like practically just sprinted that 50, and I have like nothing left in me.
Yeah,
and just getting back up and doing another one and doing another one and doing another one doing another one, it hurts so bad. But it so does a 200, right? The last 75 of a 200 of a 2-3 or a 200 of any shirt, really. It hurts so much more than any other swim, in my opinion. So I mean, he's getting us ready for that is makes sense, I feel like.
Yeah, yeah. The 200 definitely is like it burns. Like doing the two back, the last 50, especially trying to hold your kicks coming off the wall is really rough.
Yeah, for sure.
But when
for
you sure. do and you like hit your kick count, you feel so good.
Yeah, that's like one of the fun parts of swimming, right? Just to be able to push through the pain, to push through mm-hmm. the wall of discomfort, I feel like is one of the joys of swimming. Maybe I might need to learn it, still need to learn it a little bit, but you know, still.
Yeah. It's something that I would talk about with my high school coach, Glenn Neufeld. He would be like, Blake, right, you can do the 500 is the reason you can do the 500 is because you love the pain. The reason you can do like distance sets is because you love the pain. I'm like, yeah, Glenn, I do. But yeah, you can't shy away from it, you know. It's gonna happen whether or not, you know, you're tapered or whatever. So you just got to embrace it and roll with it the best you can, honestly.
How do you recover the best? Like, I mean, hitting that wall and pushing past that wall definitely comes with a lot of sore muscles, right? So, like, what do you do best to recover from all your races or even your practices?
Well, the most important thing, like, right after, is getting, like, fuel in you straight away. You know, if it's my last race of the night, that'll be protein shake, something a little more dense. If I still have races, that'll be like quick carbohydrates, some gummies or something. Lots of fluid, obviously. And something like I feel like is pretty underrated is just like long kicking, maybe with fins, like in the warm down pool, because your legs are the, you know, biggest muscle group in your body, so they're gonna house like the most soreness, I guess. So you really got to do your best to try and flush those out. And then the most important thing is sleep, because that's when your body like really, you know, goes into repair mode. And if you don't get enough sleep, like one night, you might feel fine the next day, but the day after that, it's not going to be good. So if you can consistently get sleep, enough sleep, like day over day, that'll really like compound and help keep you recovered.
Yeah, I talked about this a little bit in my last episode with Josh Bay about kind of like the importance of warming down, and he said that he warms down for upwards of half an hour after like a session or something. And like, what are your thoughts on that? What's your take on warming down and even warming up?
Yeah, like everyone's different in terms of what they need for warm up and warm down. I, you know, have a little bit more muscle than some people, not to, you know, brag, but so like me having a little more mass, like that means I need to do a little more to flush the lactic acid and everything out of my muscles. So, and me doing longer distances, obviously, like, you know, I need more of a warm up as well. So, it's just about like knowing your body and what you swim and everything. And like that comes over time. You can't really have someone tell you this is how it is. Like you got to try things for yourself. But yeah, I have warmed down for over 30 minutes after meets. There was one time I did 1,000 social kick. Well, it was by myself, but it was like 1,000 kick with a board and fins, stopping every like 100 just to see like who was swimming from my team, what they were up to, and getting back to it just because I knew my legs weren't ready yet. So,
So you agree warming down is very, also very crucial, very, a very important part of swimming. I've like before Josh, before you, I've never heard of anybody warming down for half an hour before. I'm not going to lie. I've heard of like, you know, 10 minutes. I do maybe 10 to 15 minutes here and there, like after, like if it's like right after a session that if it's like after like a mile on a Thursday, I would probably do something like that, but like 10 to 15 minutes, but I've never heard of half an hour warm down. I mean, I don't know. I'm not as experienced as you guys, because you guys, you know, college swimmers are completely different beast. College swimming is a completely different beast than, you know, high school swimming or even club swimming. So I feel like you guys have it down a lot more. So
yeah, I mean, anyone can really know their body. Like, it obviously comes with experience and like trial and error, but like me personally, even when I was like 11, my older sister coached me, and she's like, I was a miler back then, unfortunately. And we would be doing, you know, longer warm-ups, and she kind of told me about, you know, distance swimmers need more of a longer warm-up because they're swimming longer events, and that clicked with me kind of at that age. So it obviously comes with experience, but there's never like a point where you have to start. Like, it can come a lot earlier than you think.
Do you have any other like more time-based goals or any like swimming goals specifically, like more than just talking with the coach or bonding with the coach and all that?
Like my goals or like the team's goals or
both?
Yeah. I mean, I think like putting a time on where you want to be is a little harsh. Like, obviously goals are extremely important. Like at home, I don't have it up here, but at home I had the Olympic trial cut for the 4-3 on my ceiling so that I would see it when I woke up every morning. So I think like that's obviously important, but part of my experience in college has been like, you know, just because you didn't get the time doesn't mean that like you didn't grow this year, you know. But a lot of them are like intangibles, like you know, executing my race better, holding my kick count off of every wall, stuff like that. But like obviously I do have time goals, like I suppose with like the B cuts and everything, but as of a couple days ago, those don't really exist anymore.
Yeah, I know. That's kind of crazy. I was about to ask you about like, I know, like, I don't want to get too controversial. There's not a podcast where we get into, it's like the controversial part of swimming and all the rules. But I, you know, as a like, you know, D1 athlete, how does this? How does this, like, no B final, no B cuts, how does that affect you?
I mean, right now, it doesn't. You know, I didn't have any B cuts last year. I obviously want to get that, like, those times this year where they would have been. So it's not a huge deal for me personally. Like, I'm always striving to be at that meet. So theoretically, it does make it a little harder for me to qualify. But yeah, it's not the end of the world. It's different. There are things I like, things I don't like. But that's not going to stop me from giving my all every day, you know?
Yeah, so. Of course. Of course. Yeah, if you're not giving it all, like, you're not truly swimming, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. How, like, it's your junior year. How, like, your first 2 years, what do you think is going to be the biggest changes this year rather than your first 2 years at Penn State?
I think for... I would say for the first time since my freshman year, we have continuity with our coaches. My freshman year, like, we had coaches come and go at the start of the season. Our head coach left, you know, after the season was over, and then we had the coaching change. So having that stability, with the coaching positions and their kind of, you know, way about going about things, that really helps us, like, know what's coming, what we need to do. So I think a lot of why the team struggled last year was that it was all new. And we weren't really sure how to handle, you know, all the things coming at us. So having that experience with my class and the senior class, and even the sophomores now, even there's only two swimmers, like that's really valuable for building the team up and keeping us like cohesive throughout the year.
Nice. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I know, like, I switched teams multiple times. Well, not multiple times. I switched from one team. I switched to three different teams, I guess. But, like, I remember, like, switching between the teams was definitely different. And it was, like, weird for the first few months. Like, I went from having hour-and-a-half practices to having two-hour practices and going from, whatever, 5 days a week to now 6 days a week plus mornings. So like,
yeah,
like all those changes, it messed up my, you know, like my groove of like my routine, like, oh, instead of having practice from 6:30 to 7 to 8, now I have it from 7 to 9 or whatever it is. So yeah, I definitely feel you when you say the all the like coaching changes or all the coaches coaching continuity. Why did you choose Penn State in the first place? Like, what were some of the driving factors in choosing, or that you took into account when choosing a college?
Yeah. So I never really had one school that I wanted to go to. as a sophomore, I had a good freshman year in high school, and I was like, that was kind of like my breakout year as a high school athlete. I was like, well, if I keep going on this trajectory, you know, be in the, you know, four teens or something by my senior year. And obviously that didn't happen because that's like a 1 in 1,000, you know, trajectory for an athlete. So
yeah.
I really didn't know where I wanted to go. So I took visits to Navy, Drexel, Denison, Penn State. So like Power 4 to D3 and everywhere in between, pretty much, while talking to other schools as well. So eventually it did come down between Penn State and Denison. I really liked how Denison reminded me of Mercersburg, my high school. So, like it was smaller, you know, a little, I guess the architecture looked the same, but like the pool was similar. Like I got the same kind of vibe and I really liked that. And eventually like ended up choosing Penn State just because of like the resources that come with having an athletic department as big as Penn State's. Like I didn't obviously know this when I committed, but we just opened like a new student athlete dining hall with this, like, the best dining hall food. Yeah. And there's like a recovery area with massage chairs and hot cold tub, red light beds and water beds and all the beds. So it's, yeah, and more than just like the flashy stuff like that, like there's so many people at a university like Penn State that are there specifically to help you, whether that be athletics or academics or anything. Like their job is to make your life better. So that's another thing that really stuck out to me, is just like there's so much support. What, like, we're not obviously the best team on campus, but like we have dozens of people working to support our team as well as all the other teams. So it's, There's so many resources and the team as well. Like when I took my official visit here, everyone just seemed to know each other, to like each other, and they really welcomed me. So that made me feel right at home as well.
Yeah. How, or what do you think are some important factors that anybody should consider when deciding at college? Like, should it be resources, academics, swimming, like student life? Like, what do you think it should be? What do you think are like some of the most important ones?
Yeah. I mean, each person's going to have their own individual, like, wants and needs. For my experience, like, looking into colleges, it was more about leveraging your swimming to get into as good of a school as you could. And each person's going to kind of have their own, you know, wants and needs. For my experience and my whole college counseling experience, it was about like leveraging your swimming to get the best education that you can. And like that is really important, but you know, how happy you're going to be is extremely important. So you got to go to different places to try and see what they're like. So I would suggest just like going to like a prospective school, try and like envision yourself going there and see if you'd like it or not.
What do you think you'd give as advice to anybody who's, you know, currently going through the recruitment process?
It's honestly, I'm sure it's a completely different landscape even 3 years ago when I was being recruited. So I think in general though, you can't close yourself off to like your dream school. And you have to imagine your life without swimming as well. Because what if you go to this school, everything is terrible, but swimming is great? What happens if you break your leg or you have a career ending injury, God forbid, because like that happens to people. So you can't really lock yourself into that.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. Yeah, so kind of envision yourself, just envision the school, kind of go to the school more than the actual swimming, because you know, swimming is just something that you do, not something that you are. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, that's something I am kind of struggling with right now. Like before, like I had a conversation with my coach a little while ago, talking, and he was saying how like I'm so invested in swimming, which you know isn't a bad thing, but you know, later in life when I'm done with swimming, like everything that I've known, everything that I've been doing has kind of just been for, you know, I wouldn't say nothing, but like not enough, you know what I mean? So like I'd be a little stuck, I'd be struggling. So he said like explore other interests, like remember that you're just a swimmer, but you're also a person. Like swimming is just what you do. It doesn't define you, I guess, is the best way. So yeah, I love that. How did you pick your major? You said that you're in business now, so, or you said this off the air, so you didn't really tell anybody.
Yeah.
You kind of told me, but how did you pick that?
Yeah. I really didn't know what I wanted to do like in high school. I was just more focused on like getting good grades in high school. I didn't really have time to think about anything else, and swimming obviously. But I was pretty good at physics and I liked it. Like, it made sense to me. So I was like, all right, maybe I'd do engineering or something. And then I started talking to my dad about his job, and it's a lot of, you know, businessy things. And I remember growing up, he would always, you know, be in a suit and tie and have a briefcase or something like that. And I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. So I kind of looked into what different routes there are in business. And then I went into Penn State as an undecided student. And then I eventually declared for finance last spring. And I wanted to get like a minor or something else, because you get a certain number of credits that counts towards your major, and then you have to have a bunch of different credits to graduate. So I was like, okay, I want these random classes to count for something. So I like history a lot. So I was like, all right, I'll get a history minor. And then I was going through my like future classes with my academic advisor, and she said that I'd have to take like 3 accounting classes for finance. And I was like, well, how many more do I need for another, like an accounting major as well? And she's like, this many more. So I was like, okay, I might as well just do that. So I'm pursuing a major in both finance and accounting as of right
That's
now.
That's cool. So like a double major kind of?
Yeah, a double major.
Oh, wow. Double major and a minor? That's...
No. Sorry, we're dropping the history minor. That's no more. Oh. Yeah.
Even still, double major is still, it's still pretty cool. I feel, yeah, that's so amazing.
Yeah. I hope it'll set me up kind of well for professional life, having backgrounds in both finance and accounting. Accounting is hard, man. But and I did pretty well on my intro accounting class that I took. So we'll hopefully keep that going.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you like, I don't know, like survive is the first word that's coming to mind. Like it's like double major and swimming. Like it's
yeah.
Like you barely have time for like anything else. How do you survive it? How do you manage? Sorry, a better question. How do you manage your time, and like how do you manage your time to make sure that you're not, you know, burning out, but you're still keeping good grades, keeping good times in the pool, and like still progressing.
Yeah, I've noticed I've said yeah every time you've asked me a question. But basically, like, something that I've learned my first 2 years is, like, you can't really overthink it. Like, yeah, it's going to be stressful. Yeah, it's going to suck at certain points. But the more worked up you get about, oh, I have 3 assignments due tonight, or, oh, I got to wake up at 5 a.m. for practice, like, the more tense and the worse you're going to feel just about everything. So you just got to like take it one thing at a time, really, and just like know that everything's going to be okay. Like, even though it might not seem like it, like, trust me, it will. I remember last year, this was during my history minor phase. We had I was taking World War II history, which was an awesome class. I loved it. But our first test was on pre-war Japan. And I think I got like a 45 on that class, on that test, because we could bring a note sheet in, and I didn't know we could bring a note sheet in. So I was like, honestly, I was like shaking. I was so nervous. I was like, dude, there's no way, like, I'm going to fail this class or whatever. I ended up getting, I think, like an A or an A- in the class. So like, it's gonna be okay. Just take it one thing at a time and sleep. Like, there's gonna be nights you can't sleep, but you gotta sleep. And honestly, like, this is something I picked up recently. Taking like 30-minute naps is way better than taking an hour and a half nap. Because when you wake up from those longer naps, you feel terrible. You just want to keep sleeping. But you wake up from a 30-minute nap, like, you're not fully asleep, but you just give your body a chance to, like, relax, close your eyes. You wake up from that and, you know, turn the lights on and everything, you just feel so much better. So that's a new thing for me as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I've taken the 20-minute naps or those 30-minute naps sometimes after school or something, and I definitely feel more like rejuvenated, more lively, I guess, than before I took the nap.
Yeah,
for sure. What did you best do to help study to keep the good grades in high school and college?
I think, like, well, excuse me, the strategy right now is a lot of professors will give out like practice exams. So I'll take like one of them, this note, like pre-studying, like straight up, just take one, look at what I got wrong, because I rarely ever get it all right. And then I study those concepts and then either retake it, or if they have multiple practice exams, I'll take another one and just rinse and repeat. Like take, study, take, study. And those practice exam grades will just go up. So that's a good way to kind of test yourself and see what you really know about the subject, without putting like too much pressure on yourself already. And I know it's hard, but like try to do it a couple days in advance, because cramming the night before doesn't work.
Yeah, definitely does not work. I've tried cramming before. It was a horrible idea for anyone that thinks of trying it out. Do not. It sucks. Yeah,
was this one time though. Sorry, there was this time, like before my finance final exam last spring. The day before it, I studied for 7 hours straight, and I got an A on the test. So
I mean,
you know,
if it works,
I feel like it's, if it works, it works. But yeah, you shouldn't really cram usually.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I think cramming is not the method, because you don't,
no.
you're stressed that you don't know anything, and you don't learn, and you don't remember half the stuff that you learned. So I always try, like, if the teacher says, oh, okay, the test is gonna be in a week, I start studying that day, so I have a week to study or something. What about at Mercersburg in high school? How did you best study?
I honestly was a lot, I don't know if school got easier or if I got smarter, but I did a lot worse at Mercersburg than in college. But kind of the same thing. I don't really remember all that much, but like whatever your teacher tells you to do, just do it as best as you can. Look over the homeworks, look over whatever you're doing in class, your notes. That's a big thing for me, and always has been, is actually writing your notes, like pen and paper, because a lot of people around me are like typing on their keyboards, and like, which works for some people, but for me, I learn things a lot better when I'm, you know, physically writing them out. So yeah, for sure.
Do you have any like tips or anything, like, for anybody that like might be struggling to, you know, might be balanced swimming in school? Do you have anything for them to you know, regain their footing and get back to have good grades and good swimming results?
Mm-hmm. Honestly, this sounds bad, but the weekends are a great place to really, like, if you feel like you're kind of sinking under schoolwork and everything, like you got to do some work on the weekends, which I know you just want to like relax and unwind, but that's the most amount of free time that you're going to have. And if you're already kind of overwhelmed, like it's pretty much a no brainer. If you want to, you know, get comfortable with your grades and understanding school and stuff like that. My coach, we have a concept. It's like an upside down triangle. And so there's one point at the bottom and two points at the top. And the two at the top are school and swimming. And the one at the bottom is your social life. So you really have to prioritize school and swimming. And obviously, like, there has to be a balance with your social life because we're robots. But as soon as social life fully takes over either school or swimming, the other one is going to suffer. So we're not robots, but, you know, we're athletes. We've made a commitment to get better at our sport and to do our sport. So skipping out on hanging out with your friends and doing social stuff like that occasionally is what you're going to have to do. So
yeah, for sure. Yeah, I love that. Yeah, having to skip out on hanging out with friends, that's something that I know I struggled with at least my first, I want to say, year and a half-ish. And then I started to, you know, buckle down and maybe spend less time with friends. Might have sacrificed some relationships with some friends that I'm definitely regretting sacrificing because, you know, they were good people and stuff. But I 100% agree. Like, you can't, the school comes first. You're a student athlete, right? So you have to, school has to come before your friends and your party life or whatever you want to do. Like your non-school life, right? So.
Yeah. To your point about that, like, in my experience, like, that's how you really know who your friends are. Especially if they're not swimmers, like, they understand, like, hey, I just got done with a 2-hour practice. I need to be up at whatever o'clock in the morning. Like, I can't hang out and play PS5 with you right now. Like, I have to go do homework. Like, they won't resent you for that. So that's something that I've always kind of been on the lookout for, is like, who gets it, you know, who won't hold that against me.
Interesting.
So yeah
I've actually never thought about it like that. I've always thought that my, you know, my unwilling to hang out with them was just like me, not so much their understanding. And I know I can't change, but I feel like anytime, like, I'd be like, I kind of like lose touch with a friend, or I like stop hanging out with that one person, or I don't know. I feel like I did something wrong myself, but maybe if I think of it like that, then that's not the case, right?
Yeah, that's not always the case. People, if they're there for you, you know, they'll get it. So, and a lot of that comes with like developing relationships over the years and stuff. Like my high school buddies, like my best friends in the world, you know, I barely talked to them my freshman year because I was so introverted and like focused on swimming. But the more like I hung out with them, like little by little over the years, like, you know, we've got so close, like, these are the guys that are, you know, going to be at my wedding and stuff. So it's like, nice. It takes time.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. 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 That would take time to build relationships. They don't happen overnight. I don't think anything, everything, any hard thing takes time, right? It can't just be like, oh,
Yeah.
Like that, it's over with, right? So yeah,
Yeah.
I feel that 100%, right? 100%. And this is the last question I do ask everybody on the podcast. You know, I since the beginning, what if you were to go back to your freshman year, what do you think you would do differently, of high school or college or both?
Okay. Good question. Going back to freshman year of high school, I would tell myself you have to work hard, but like you gotta chill out, man. 'Cause I got to a point where, and this got even worse when we couldn't swim 'cause of COVID. I would be like running until like it hurt to walk like the next day. Like I physically like didn't want to get out of my chair because it hurt to walk. I beat myself up so much because I had it convinced that I was like every, you know, ounce of pain that I experienced, it's only going to make me better. No, dude, like if you can't walk, that's not making you a better swimmer. You know, yeah. You gotta work hard, work smart, and you know, have some grace for yourself, give yourself a chance to rest, because I overworked myself a lot my sophomore year and I guess the end of my freshman year of high school. Yeah.
What about college?
Kind of a similar thing. I definitely learned to lay off, you know, beating myself up so much over high school. I think when I got to college, I was so taken aback about how much faster the fastest guys on the team were than me. And so I would be practicing with these guys. Like I was the best, one of the best 500 freestylers, you know, at my high school. My training partner, Mark, beat me. But yeah, so I'm going from being one of the best on the team to, you know, back like really towards the bottom of the mid distance group and practicing with these guys and, you know, getting lapped on occasion, is just like, that really took me by surprise. So I just kept pushing myself harder and harder, and I'd be swimming on Sundays to try and like catch up or, you know, bridge the gap as fast as I could. And that again just like overworked me and left me like in a really bad state. So just like I would tell myself to just trust the process. You're your own swimmer. You're not, you know, whoever else you're swimming with. So do what's best for you.
All right. Yeah, that's great advice. Don't overwork yourself, right? You're still, goes back to it's what you do, not who you are, right? So yeah. Love that.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, thank you so much, Teddy, for everything you said. I love all the stories, all the tips and everything that you shared. So really appreciate you coming onto the podcast.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having me, man.
Yeah.
That was quite the episode. His tips on how to best balance swimming in school and his stories about how he studies best with the practice exams and how he is taking a double major just really, really made him shine above the rest. I loved making this episode with him, and I would love to thank him once again for coming onto the podcast. I really hope you enjoy this episode as well, and I'd like to thank you for listening. My name is Anton Beregovoy, and I will see you next time on the Life in Lane 4.